You're tuned into Nerd Overload, your spooky show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more.
Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.
Now your hosts, Cody Pumpkinick, Samantha Crossbones, Sam Dun-Dun-Dunham, and Josh Scarrison.
Ooh!
That's right, it's Halloween, and it's time for another episode of Nerd Overload.
Your spooky spot for all your pop culture and geek culture news and whatnot.
And there's maybe a vampire, some skeletons. It's going to get real scary up in here.
It's going to get real spooky.
You'll want to get your mummy.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
I'm Cody.
Oh boy, we have a spookily good show for you, everybody. Got some news to go over, but as always, let's do some things we've been checking out.
Wait, is that a ghost? Did I hear a ghost? No?
No.
No, it wasn't a ghost. Okay.
Okay,
let's check it out.
Okay.
Did anybody do anything extra spooky scary for Halloween?
I kind of did. I have a yearly tradition. I watch one specific horror movie. I'm not really much of a horror movie guy. They just don't interest me all that much. But there is one that I watch every year, and that is Blackula.
No, don't laugh.
Can't laugh. No. It's, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. But trust me, when I say this, it's a legitimately good movie. It actually has quite a bit of depth, and I give that all to the actor, William Marshall, who was a Shakespearean actor before he starred in the movie.
Gone to the Cape,
yes,
so to speak.
Yes, and he added a bit of gravitas to the role, that where it could have just been a campy, you know, 70s, you know, joke fest, like so many of those other types of movies, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it actually
It could have been Dolomite Dracula. But,
it could have been. But no, it's actually pretty decent. And also, you know, he was the king of cartoons on Pee-wee's Playhouse, so that always helps.
Yeah. I mean, we watched the last, half hour?
About
we
a half
did
hour
there.
Or so.
Was,
yeah.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. It's surprisingly compelling for what it is.
It was solid.
Yes, they do say that at one point. Yes. But no, I mean, that's pretty much been it. I finished Undertale, which, I mean, I guess had skeletons in it.
Yeah, it does. So, it's full of monsters.
It is. Good game. I'm looking forward to getting back into it and playing it the wrong way now that I've beaten it the right way.
I would seriously recommend everybody play it.
Yeah.
Like, it's that good. Like, even if you're not really that into video games or whatever, it's worth checking it out.
Again, it has a really good story. And it's $10, so
yeah,
even if you don't like it, you know, you're not out a whole lot.
I started playing the original System Shock for some reason. That's kind of a spooky game.
Oh, yeah?
The predecessor to BioShock.
Yeah. They just re-released the original on Steam, the enhanced edition, which it really just runs at a reasonable resolution and has mouse look.
Ah, okay.
But it's a good enough game that it holds up really well. And I mean, it's just a sweet game.
Cool.
It almost has like a roguelike feel. Except it's not randomly generated, but just the way that you're scrounged for resources and you're lucky to find what you do against all these mutants and robots. It's a really solid game, and it's really immersive and,
cool.
You know, fairly spooky if you're afraid of evil artificial intelligences and mutants and robots.
I do have a healthy fear of a robot apocalypse.
Then this will scare the pants off you. I like the mechanic, though. On every floor of the space station you're on, there's a machine that will heal you if you turn it on.
Oh, okay.
Because the way it is before, Shodan, the evil AI, is using it to build more and more cyborgs to kill you. But if you find that and switch it on, then you're allowed to die on that floor and you'll come back.
Oh, okay.
But if you don't have that on, if you die, it's just game over.
Wow.
And it adds a lot of tension to the...
I gotta find that thing.
Yeah.
I gotta find that thing.
But yeah, it's a classic. There's so much more depth in it than BioShock, too. The BioShock games are like the for dummies version of the System Shock game. And it's got cyberspace in it, which is always cool.
That's cool.
Like a 3D wireframe thing.
Oh, nice.
Within your first-person shooter.
Nice.
I've been listening to a lot of spooky podcasts just to get in the Halloween season.
Oh, really?
There's well, spooky episodes of podcasts. There was a This American Life full of scary stories that they weren't so much like ghosts or monster stories as much as they're just terrifying stories of things that happened to real people. And there was an episode of I can't remember that. It's another NPR show where people tell stories.
Is it Car Talk?
No. A real scary episode of Car Talk. I love Car Talk.
Yeah.
Oh.
Talked about the Munster Mobile or something?
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, that's it.
Their catchphrase is like storytelling with a beat. Oh my God. I'm going to have to look it up. Snap Judgment. The show's called Snap Judgment.
Snap Judgment. Okay, I have no idea.
And they just normally have people come on and tell stories, but these were all ghosts and monster and evil clown related. Every year they do a spooky story edition, and it was really good.
Nice.
And also, there was another one, I think it was called the Real Ghost Stories Podcast, which people call in and tell their ghost stories, and your mileage may vary depending on who calls in. but the hosts are good and, you know, have a good sense of humor, so it's a pretty good show.
That's cool.
If you want some ghost stories.
Nice.
For the season.
Yeah, a lot of like the shows, like the trash TV shows Steph watches have like a little run programming about this time. There was my real ghost story, and it's like there's one of celebrities telling ghost stories.
Oh, Celebrity Ghost Stories is a great show.
But my check it out, I guess I kind of went back and
in time.
I did tonight.
No, that's what we talked about last week. Come on.
But no, I was rereading Lovecraft.
Right on,
good stuff.
Yeah, though I've come to the conclusion I can't read in bed.
To get too spooked.
No, I get too sleepy.
Oh, yeah. I do that, too. It makes me feel like maybe I'm real dumb. Because every time I read, I get tired. It's like, am I stupid?
No, like if I'm, like, reading downstairs on the couch, I'll be fine. I'll read for hours. But I'm, like, up in bed. I'm, like, warm. I'm under my blanket. And I'm sitting there. And I fell asleep for an hour in the middle of The Call of Cthulhu.
Wow.
And I like The Call of Cthulhu. Though, it's been a while since I've read any of the Lovecraft stuff, and I forgot how dated it is. I mean, oh, yes, yeah. It was written in the 1920s, mm-hmm. So yes, I do understand that. But it's like, man, I'm just sitting there, and it's...
Oh, that guy is so racist, too. Have you read some of the...
Well, no more racist than anyone else at that time.
Oh, no. He is way more racist than anybody at that time.
I do remember in the story... The Rats in the Walls.
I love that story.
It's a great story. Yeah. Like, rereading a second time is amazing, because then you start noticing. It's like watching something like Inception a second time and picking up on the little things. Mm-hmm. But like in The Rats in the Walls, you eventually start noticing that the way he describes his best friend changes. It's being like, this is what he physically looks like to, you know, he's a slightly portly fellow to he's a plump fellow. He's a fat, juicy guy. And the fact that by the end of the story, you found out he had eaten him.
Oh, wow.
Because he went crazy from this underground ruin or whatever he found underneath his house. But he has a cat. And I'm not going to repeat the cat's name.
Oh, yeah, the cat has a pretty racially charged name.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
But yeah, H.P. Lovecraft is like a Hitler-level racist. Somebody made a Twine game on the internet that is, there's quotes, and you guess if Hitler said this or Lovecraft, and it is impossible.
Oh.
I mean, he's still, like, his fiction writing is still phenomenal. He's a great writer and wrote some great stories, but man, does he have some messed up ideas about race.
Sometimes I have to wonder, like, the state of some people who are, like, really super popular, like horror authors, like with Lovecraft and, like, some of the things he came up with, Poe and his horrible alcoholism.
That actually is not entirely true.
Really?
Yeah, he wasn't as, like, the popular myth is that he, like, died in a gutter from
alcohol poisoning,
but that's not true. That story was actually written by, like, one of his enemies spread this rumor that that's how he died, but it's not true. actually, nobody really knows exactly how he died, but one of the ways that could have been possible is they used to, around voting time, groups of thugs would go around and beat people up to get him to vote for...
Whoever.
Yeah, whoever, yeah. And he might have been a victim of that.
Really?
Gotcha. I forget what that's called. I think it might be called cooping or something.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You ever see the movie The Raven?
No, but it looked really good.
It's awful.
Really?
Is that the one with John Cusack as,
yes,
like...
as Poe.
As Poe, Detective Poe, kind of?
Yeah, it's like Sherlock...
O.P.I.?
It was like, yeah, it was kind of like Sherlock Holmes meets Edgar Allan Poe, and it's not good at all. Because he's, at this point, he's established. He's an established author, and people like his stories, but he's become jaded to his stories.
Sherlock Holmes, FBI.
But a fan starts killing people in the ways of his stories. And at first, the police think it's him. Then he starts helping the police try to catch the guy.
At one point, he stands outside of a window holding a boombox or an old Victrola.
Yeah.
It's real confusing.
With like an anachronistic sounding version of that song.
Yeah.
What is that song that he plays?
I thought I had it, but I'm like, nope, that's Breakfast Club.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I immediately thought that song from Breakfast Club.
I was thinking it too.
But
actually,
that's not what it is.
In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel.
Oh.
That was it.
I don't know how that song goes, or I would attempt to sing like an anachronistic sounding version of it.
I'm glad you can't.
Yeah. I'm trying to formulate it in my mind at the moment, and I can't do it.
Nope. It's like when we try to do Doc Brown impersonations.
Yeah,
it's not going to work.
Bad news.
bad news. But no, I was reading Lovecraft, and so many little short stories. Like, they're all real. Like, I have the complete works in this really awesome, like, hardbound book.
Oh, like the ones they have at Barnes & Noble?
Yeah. Nice. It's amazing. I love it. I also have Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy that way.
Cool.
Nice.
I have a collection of Lovecraft that has, like, a Mike Mignola cover.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I know the one you're talking about. But yeah, it's...
I think Samantha spilled coffee on it in Kent, so now it's all weird.
It's ruined.
Ruined.
But yeah, just a lot of them just go real quick. Boom, boom, boom. But there's some great... Oh my God, so many great stories. I mean, yeah, you got like the iconic like Call of Cthulhu, which is almost like a mini novel. But then you got like Wrath of the Wolves is really good.
I think that might be my favorite.
Dagon's pretty good.
Have you seen the movie of
Dagon?
Of Dagon?
Yeah.
That's bad.
I liked it.
Really?
Yeah. It was made by Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh, no. There's a Stuart Gordon Dagon.
Yeah.
I've only seen the Sci-Fi Channel.
It's pretty good.
One.
I like Stuart Gordon, though. I like almost all his movies that I've seen. The Reanimator, Bride of Reanimator. The only one I haven't seen is Pit and the Pendulum, which I don't know if that's good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Pikmin's Model is pretty good. About
Pikmin.
The monster. Yeah.
I haven't read that one.
Yeah, it's about a monster.
It's about this little spaceman that befriends these little plant creatures on a faraway planet.
That
may or may
spaceship.
Not be Earth.
Yeah.
He needs to fix the spaceship.
Yeah.
Those grub dogs. Oh, man. But no, I really enjoyed it, and, it's kind of weird when you think about it, how he's not, you know, when he came out, he was probably popular enough, but now he's like cult classic.
Yeah.
Like there's, I mean.
Well, he just wasn't appreciated in his time, like a lot of artists.
Yeah. But like, I mean, come on, you walk into any game store, you can find a billion Cthulhu-esque games.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that is because it's also public domain.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, if Cthulhu and the Shoggoths and stuff like that, if they weren't public domain, they wouldn't be used nearly as much.
As often.
And by extension, the Lovecraft books in general probably wouldn't be as widely known.
True. Because I tell you, it's really weird. I'll watch like cheesy horror movies, and there'll be like a quote from Lovecraft in there somewhere.
Yeah, because they can get away with it.
Yeah. We need to play Arkham Horror again.
We do. I agree.
I love that game.
It's a good game.
But that's all I really did. That nap with this big, heavy book in my lap.
Now that I think about it, the reason I probably get sleepy when I read is it's the only time like I actually relax.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, the only time I'm not super anxious is when I sit down and read and relax.
I did also have my heated blanket on. So.
Oh, that'll do it.
That'll do it.
We all just played the new Zelda. Zelda Triforce.
We did that. It's not exactly spooky, but...
No,
I'm
kind of deviating from the spooky theme, but it is something
we
new.
Died.
Yeah, we did. We did get brutalized because I thought it would be a good idea to put on one of the challenges that gives you less hearts.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know it was going to also add more monsters.
And it's pro-level Triforce Heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a neat game. It's really different, like... I mean, it's very much Zelda, but it's with a multiplayer spin on it
which is rare. Rare and different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you think of Zelda, you definitely don't think of playing it with other people.
Yeah.
Except for that one game.
Four Swords.
Yeah. But I think it's a bit more focused than Four Swords.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, because the puzzles are, like, really all about the teamwork.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we took way too long trying to throw each other on top of logs to push buttons.
And couldn't figure out how to kill the monster on top of it. We just kept throwing ourselves into it.
Yeah.
And that's where all our lives went.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
And you don't all have to buy a copy to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it helps because then you can get into the metagame of getting the materials to make different costumes that give you different abilities.
Right.
In the game. And that, which also adds to the replayability, because every time you get through a dungeon, you get a pick from three treasure chests, and one has a good thing in it, and the other one has kind of a crappier thing.
Oh, okay.
And the costumes are neat. I mean, they give you cool powers. I have a Zora one that's based on a little water monster,
mm-hmm.
lets me swim against currents, and gives me, like, a water attack.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, so you can attack in the water, which you normally can't
do. Yeah, right.
What does the Zelda dress do?
It lets you get more hearts. Like, you'll get hearts more often when you cut grass or throw rocks.
Okay.
Which is useful if you're...
Probably could have used that.
Yeah, if you got one person on your team with that,
that's
always handy.
Now, do they stack? Like, if two people had, like...
The dress?
Probably.
Okay.
Interesting. There's that...
It's hearts everywhere. Making it rain hearts.
There's that Sentai one outfit that... If all three people are wearing it, it does something. It doesn't say what.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I think we might have to buy this game.
You really should. It's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Speaking of Sentai, I'm sorry. This is completely off track, but
that's
this is something
fine.
I remember I saw. All of Ultraman is available online to watch.
That's cool.
That is cool. Ultraman's a good time.
I just did the arm thingy.
The weird L-shaped arm laser. Did I ever show you that toy gun? That they made for the Ultraman X or whatever this newest season is. It looks like a toy plastic gun, you know, with you pull the trigger and it looks like a little light and it makes a sound. But when you pull the trigger, it has these two parallel arm like bars. And when you pull the trigger, one of them snaps down and it looks like
the Ultraman
pose. That's crazy. It's ridiculous.
Japan loves their weird crap.
They do.
Remember when they dubbed Ultraman and put it on Fox? Saturday morning.
Yeah.
That was real weird.
Was that Super Cyber Samurai?
No, they just called it Ultraman.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't remember that at all.
It was when Fox Kids picked up like a whole lot of anime and also Ultraman.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
It was around the time of Fighting Foodons and
Flint
the Time Detective.
Oh, jeez. Now, I do also remember... Cyber Samurai Squad.
Yeah.
Cyber Squad.
Yeah.
Whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And that was a version of...
Ultraman.
Ultraman, but not...
Yeah, I had a bunch of the toys from that. Yeah.
You know, Tim Curry was the voice of the villain in that?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Crazy.
But also fitting, because Tim Curry should voice most villains.
Or just anybody.
Everyone.
Really?
Yeah,
just everyone. They should make a show just called Tim and the Curries. A fury of curies.
Just make me think of my brother. My brother and me.
Yes. Order a cheese pizza.
Oh, don't talk about pizza. I'm starving.
Oh yeah, that sounds really.
Yeah,
good.
That sounds good.
Speaking of spooky, all this dead air.
Yeah. Woo. The spookiest part is the dead air.
Well, now I have to leave the dead air in.
Oh.
No, it's all right. No.
Oh, I got the Dragon Quest game for PlayStation 4, that like kind of Dynasty Warriors themed one. Did I talk about that last time?
No,
oh,
I don't think you have.
Dragon Quest Heroes?
Yeah.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Cool. I mean, I think it has, it's a little better than Hyrule Warriors, I think, because so far it seems a little more focused.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the maps are more strategy-based, whereas Hyrule Warriors is just kind of like a bunch,
go here,
of,
go
bunch
there.
Of crap everywhere.
And run to an area and slash everything, then run to another area and slash everything. Yeah.
And you can pick up monster medals after you kill certain monsters, and then you gain that monster, and then you can drop it down on the map to protect a point.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's more strategy going on, and the production values are higher than Hyrule Warriors.
Well, of course.
I mean, it's Dragon Quest, and how can you not love Dragon Quest?
Yeah.
Seriously, I think I enjoy Dragon Quest more than Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah, I'll agree.
Sure.
I think it's more timeless. It's,
I enjoy the stories better.
Yeah.
Plus, I have always been a big fan of Kiryu Toriyama's art style. Yeah. But I blame that growing up on like old Dragon Ball and stuff.
As well you should.
The Dragon Quest stories almost have like a Beowulfian quality. Like, it's these epic stories about just people fighting for good versus evil instead of this convoluted anti-hero garbage that Final Fantasy really got invested in after 7. Not to throw 7 under the bus, because I like Final Fantasy 7, but the stories haven't been the same since then.
Yeah.
Not really, no. Yeah, I think it was like one of the first ones that they really, really went whole hog on that whole techno future kind of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because, I mean, 6 was kind of steampunk, but it wasn't,
it wasn't techno future, yeah.
Nobody had a gun arm.
Yeah, it almost seemed like 7, they captured lightning in a bottle with 7, and they've been trying to match that ever since.
Yeah.
And it's not really been working. Yeah. But I love
They literally tried lightning. In 13.
Twice, because there's 13-2, remember?
Lightning returns.
There's 3 13
games.
Oh,
God.
Ugh.
Yeah, Lightning does return in the third one, which is titled Lightning Returns.
Bazap.
How did that get 3 or 2 sequels?
I don't know.
Nobody liked the first
How
one.
Did 10? How did 10 get a sequel?
Because 10's pretty good.
I don't like 10.
I liked it. I actually, one of the few ones I've actually finished.
I don't like Meg Ryan as the main hero.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's okay. He's not real.
Spoiler alert!
What is it, a 15-year-old game? Spoiler! Yeah.
I love 9.
9 is good.
9 is a huge favorite of mine, but also 9 kind of gets back to the old...
Yeah, 9 is kind of a callback one, throwback one.
God, it's so good.
And God, I need to finish the article series I was doing where I play through all of them.
Yeah, you should probably do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard. There are a lot.
3 is hard.
3 is hard. 3
is freaking
hard.
That's where I've been stuck, is 3, and it's ridiculous. There's so many dungeons where you have to cast, like, negative spell effects on yourself, turn yourself into a toad, shrink yourself. It's garbage. It's my video game white whale. I can't finish it. Skip it and move to 4.
There you go.
One of these days. Then I get to one of the MMO ones and be like, uh-oh.
Oh, God. 11.
Hope you like grinding, because that's what you do in that one.
Yeah. It's the same with 14.
Oh, 14's really good.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I really liked 14.
Okay.
It's one of those where, like, I wish I could afford to pay the monthly fee on that. Well, it's not that I couldn't afford it. It's just it's not reasonable.
Right.
I couldn't play it enough to warrant.
It'll go free to play soon. Yeah.
Probably. <Yeah.
laughs> Like every MMO that's not Warcraft.
Did you see Star Wars is getting a big update that changes the game, makes it more like a BioWare RPG?
Really?
Yeah. It's apparently a lot better.
Are you talking about their Fallen Empire expansion or whatever?
Yeah. It's going to change all the rest of the game, too.
Hmm. Well, there's a lot of changes in that coming out. Like, another faction is coming from, like, Wild Space or whatever to basically mess crap up.
Nice.
I like that game. That's a good MMO.
No, it is a good MMO. I do enjoy it.
It has a lot more payoff for playing by yourself than the average MMO would.
Playing through it doesn't feel quite as a chore.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you still got the... you know, go kill 15 of these things or whatever. But you're doing it in a story narrative, and it feels more like, say, going back to kind of playing like Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, your character feels like they have agency in a story as opposed to just being, you know, whatever class you are, number 1,000 to move through this line.
Pretty much. Yeah. Or, you know, when my character is an agent.
Yeah.
I love that character. I think I like my Imperial agent way more than I did my bounty hunter.
Oh, I love the Sith warrior. Oh, whatever. That's fun too. Yeah, that move, you get a move where you can just do flips at people from a distance.
Nice.
It's really cool.
Cool. All right, well, hey, do you want to go ahead and take a break and do some news when we come back? A spooky break. Yeah, don't get scared off. We'll be right back.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 127 South Sandusky Avenue in downtown Bucyrus. 419-562-0404 and online at subcultureoh.com.
Boo! They get you? Hey, we're back. That was Nightmare on My Street by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
I wonder what ever happened to them.
What, that Fresh Prince guy? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
God knows.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does anything anymore.
Okay. All right. So we, in theory, we have some news. You want to start with the Sega one?
Yeah, Sega recently apologized for how terrible their games have been.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, no, it's weird to see a video game company actually call themselves out and be like, yeah, our games are terrible.
Yeah, apparently it was some guy from the Sega Europe marketing. His name's John Rook. Said the quality suffered due to the difficulty of translating the 2D game into a 3D platformer.
That's a weird reason, because that's something that everyone else in the world figured out how to do about 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Sonic Adventure was fun. Yeah. I liked Sonic Adventure. Granted, that was back when, you know, Sega was still making their own systems.
Yeah, I think they're talking more about, like, Sonic 06.
Yeah.
Which was bad news.
Yeah,
and, like,
super bad.
Sonic the Werewolf.
Oh, yeah. What was that? Sonic Unleashed.
Sonic Unleashed.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that
one. And Sonic the Black Knight, where he was a knight.
Or Shadow. When Shadow got
Shadow
his own
the
game.
Hedgehog. Yeah.
Sonic with a
gun.
Yeah,
driving a car.
Yeah. God. Bad
Sonic
news.
And Sonic Boom's not that great either.
It's glitchy.
Not that great is giving it too much credit.
And the fact that you know, hey, we're going to make a new Sonic cartoon. Let's make it Sonic Boom. Why not?
Let's give them all. Let's make them all mummies.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they all got like hipster scarves and crap.
I heard that the cartoon's not bad, but I refuse to believe it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Same here.
I've only seen bits and pieces of it. I'm like, no, I'm good.
Like, apparently, it's kind of funny. I don't know. It doesn't look like it.
No.
I went back actually and was rewatching. Was it Sonic Underground, maybe? Whatever one where he was like a resistance fighter and Robotnik
Sonic
actually
Underground.
Was an idiot.
I don't know, because there's another one where there's the kind of Archie Comics.
With Jaleel White?
Yeah.
As the voice of Sonic and his chili dogs?
Yeah, like that one he's a resistance fighter, but was he in a band?
No.
Then
They're like straight up, like, they have this little hidden, like, place in the middle of the woods.
That was just another Sonic cartoon then. Yeah. Sonic Underground is like the one where it's like Sonic and his brother and sister, which are in a band, and it's weird and awful.
Oh, yeah. No. This one I'm talking about like is like Sonic is like outside like Robotnik's like little robot empire or whatever with a bunch of other resistance fighters.
I remember that one being pretty good when I was a kid.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's actually not bad. It's a little dated. And the fact that Sonic keeps saying the same catchphrase over and over again, and it really bothers me.
Sonic, I'm relevant.
Yeah, pretty much. But
got a blast or something.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's something stupid like that.
Chili dogs.
Yeah, not chili dogs. But the character designs were pretty good. There's like a There's a bunny chick with like a cyborg arm.
I think her name is literally Bunny.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Bunny Rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, it was really good.
What about that one that was on 4Kids TV? The
Sonic
the
X?
Yeah, Sonic X. That was garbage.
Yeah, but that was another cartoon they based off as a garbage game, too.
Yeah.
What game was that based off of?
I think it was Sonic X.
Was there a game called Sonic X?
I think it was based off Adventures 2. Sonic Adventures 2.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Because it had Big the Cat, the single greatest Sonic the Hedgehog character of all time.
The single
I don't care.
Scariest, terrifying Sonic character
ever. It had Shadow and Rouge the Bat.
Rouge the Bat.
Oh, yeah.
That's adds sex appeal to Sonic the Hedgehog.
Because why
not? Weird.
Yeah. What does Sonic need? Boobs.
Yeah.
That's what it needs.
And a really flirtatious thief character.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. Weird bat boobs.
Oh, and the furries. And the furries were elated.
Well, that's probably why they did it. They're like, hey, you know who's really into this? Our thing here is furries. Let's play to them a little bit.
Hey, let's go. You know what's big on DeviantArt?
Oh, no, no, no. No, don't. No, we're not going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, that's
no,
bad
no,
news.
No. That's a dark and scary place.
Would you say that's no good? You beat me to it, Cody.
So now they're going to come out with Sonic Inflation 06.
Oh, God.
Oh. No. Okay, let's move on because that's with a...
So Mario Maker, let's switch from Sonic to Mario.
Yeah, there we go.
Good gaming franchises.
Yeah. Mario Maker is getting an update, which is awesome.
That is excellent.
You know, I was hoping since it came out that they would gradually add more stuff to it, and it seems like that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting checkpoints,
which is something
it's sorely needed.
Yes. Oh, man, yes.
No, I mean, you don't want the challenge of running through a death level.
With no continue point? Oh, yeah, that led me just to quitting a lot of levels, because I didn't want to do them all the way over again every time. But, yeah, now you can throw down a flag, and when Mario hits it, you get to start from there again.
Right.
It's also adding other stuff. There's
the chainable power-ups
is something I heard, which is
something you complained about.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that they didn't work like they do in the games, where if you're small Mario and you hit a block, it's always a mushroom. And if you're big, then it's
the power-up. Yeah.
And now you can do that. You can...
Oh, that's good.
That they added a harder version of the Gnat Attack minigame.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that minigame from Mario Paint is hidden in there.
Right, yeah.
You know, sometimes when you're making a level, a fly will show up, like mm-hmm. three flies, and if you swat them all, it starts the minigame.
Huh.
Well, now if you take a Muncher character and shake it a bunch of times, you get a harder version of Gnat Attack.
Oh, nice.
Which, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Something to do.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll unlock something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the other one, it unlocked Construction Mario as a costume. I'm sure this one will unlock a costume, too.
Yeah.
Yay, costumes.
Which I wonder if they'll add more costumes.
I'm sure they will down the road.
Yeah. And that's one of the funnest parts of Mario Maker, I think, is all the neat costumes you can get.
Mm-hmm.
They're adding, like, event levels, which are levels that are made for a specific event. Like... the ones that they made at Facebook, the Facebook hackathon levels that they had on YouTube, they're going to be in there. You're going to be able to play those.
Yeah, I heard the Japanese version's getting the Game Center CX, the Areno levels that he made during his episode, which I guess are not very good.
And they're adding a special channel for Nintendo-made levels, which is awesome.
That's cool.
So we steadily get more Nintendo-made Mario levels.
Yeah. That is cool.
Oh, good. People who aren't evil.
Yeah, people who know how to make good levels.
Yeah.
But more Mario Maker is always good.
It's good. I'm glad they're going to slowly trickle out new updates and stuff, because...
they've been doing that a lot with their games lately.
Yeah, well, it helps make their games kind of evergreen, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, instead of putting everything out there all at once and having everyone just kind of get tired of it.
Yeah, burn through it
quick.
In a week.
Yeah.
It kept me playing Splatoon way longer than I probably would have normal.
Yeah. Actually, there's a Splatfest coming up this weekend, too.
Oh, yeah. It's Ninjas versus Pirates.
Yeah.
Yarr!
Which, yeah, I'd say go Pirates.
Yeah, same here.
There's new weapons coming too, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's this weekend, but there's like a little washing machine you can carry around that shoots ink everywhere.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's probably a variation on that bucket that I hate.
Cool.
But yeah, Nintendo's been good with the updates of their games. I read somewhere that tomorrow, which when this is on air, it'll have already happened, they're going to announce whatever their first mobile game is.
Yeah, I heard that too. I'll be really interested to hear what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be something with Mario.
That would be my guess. Like, it's not going to be Pokemon because
they have that.
The Pokemon company already does that.
Yeah. And with Pokemon Go coming out here
it's
within
so
the next
weird
month or two.
That Pokemon falls with under a separate company from Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yet it is Nintendo.
Yeah. Nintendo just owns a major share in the Pokemon company is, I think, how it works.
Yeah.
Business.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, but no, I'm interested to see what their new game's going to
be. It's either going to be Mario or it's going to be something completely unique. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen, though, because I think the whole point is to leverage their brand.
Yeah.
Which Mario is the mascot of.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it's going to be the first one, but I wouldn't be surprised if at one point they do a WarioWare game.
That would be
like
perfect
for a mini
game.
Oh, yeah.
It's built for that kind of crap.
Yeah.
WarioWare is fun.
It is. Yeah. It is a good game.
They need to do another. I guess they did do one not too long ago. That game in Wario. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a traditional WarioWare though. If they did like a more traditional one with the gamepad, it'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna do a Nintendo Direct soon too, which is gonna be interesting because Iwata was very much the heart and soul of the Nintendo Direct, and
he was,
and he's passed away. So it's gonna be weird to see what they do. Like, who's going to be the face of the Nintendo Direct now?
Yeah, I bet it's going to be Miyamoto.
Yeah, I can't see them trucking out the new guy that they have because he doesn't seem like he's the most photogenic or like...
No, he seems more business-minded.
Yeah.
It's either going to be Miyamoto or, who knows, they might truck Reggie out.
Yeah, or Tezuka.
Yeah.
God, the internet would lose his mind if it was freaking Reggie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he does show up on most of the American ones, but... Mm-hmm.
Because Reggie's something else to do other than make memes, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm very, very, yeah. Plus, they're going to announce more Smash Brothers characters in the upcoming ones.
More
so,
amiibos.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not going to be Shovel Knight. Yacht Club has said it's just not going to happen.
Aww.
They're not doing it. They said the interest isn't there for... On their end, and
I'm about to say
They don't really care if he's in Smash Brothers.
No, their Twitter said the interest wasn't really there, and translating the character, they just didn't.
They just don't feel like it.
They just don't feel like it. I don't blame them. I mean,
yeah, if they want to do their own thing, that's
yeah.
Maybe it'll be Shantae.
Maybe,
because I know the interest is there on WayForward. They've said they want to do it.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah,
get Snake back in there.
That would be awesome, but
dude,
it's never going to happen with Konami the way it is.
Yeah.
Oh God, no!
They don't care. They don't want to put the resources into that.
They don't want to do good games anymore.
They just want to do pachinko machines.
Yeah. I mean, if we could get like the big boss punished Venom Snake from Metal Gear 5 in there, that'd be awesome. But it's not going to happen.
No.
I just remember playing the other one and like being like Snake and like choking out Mario.
Yeah, Snake was one of my favorite characters in Brawl.
Yeah,
his little stupid little floating robot.
Yeah.
But I know I don't think we'll ever see Snake in Smash Brothers, or maybe never even again. I don't know.
Who knows? Oh, did you see that they threw Kojima a going away party, and then Konami turned right around and said, No, Kojima still works for us. We don't know what this party was for.
Yeah, they're like, he's on vacation. He's on a well-deserved vacation. It's like, what?
Yeah, they said he's still an employee.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
I think he said that he's not.
Yeah, no, he was let go. Or he quit or something
like
that.
Yeah, but
whatever that drama was.
Konami says that he's not. It says somebody tweeted that Konami said that Kojima has gone out to buy cigarettes and he'll come back.
Yeah, I've actually heard that comparison as well. That's pretty great.
I forget who tweeted it, but I don't want to take credit for that brilliant joke.
Yeah.
Mom, when's Kojima coming back?
soon, honey, soon.
she gets a far-off look in her eye. Single tear rolls down. Soon.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. I can't wait to see what Kojima does when he's not tied to Konami. Like, what's he going to make without them breathing down his neck?
Well, it was almost Silent Hills, but not so much.
What is Kojima going to make when he doesn't have to make Metal Gear? Well, when he can't make Metal Gear.
When he can't. He'll make steel girders.
The sprockets. Steel sprockets. Sprockets.
Yes.
With serpent.
Yes. Steel sprocket solid.
With hard serpent.
Oh, that's... Wow, that sounds bad.
Yeah.
Well, now we know where that quiet doll's for.
No, her name is Silent.
Yeah.
It's a different character. It's a different franchise.
She's Silent.
Bipedal robot.
But
Solid deadly. Sprocket.
Solid Sprocket.
Boy, there's too many weird insidey, like deep cut jokes in this episode.
Oh yeah, large supervisor.
Wet serpent. You know, instead of liquid snake.
Yeah.
Oh god. Okay, we got to move on. We got to move on.
Dragon's Lair, you remember that?
Yeah.
You know, it's a movie that you push buttons during.
Pretty much.
They want to make a movie that you don't push buttons during.
Don Bluth, you know, animation legend.
Yeah, genius animator.
Is getting together with his old buddy and turning the old arcade game that's hard as crap and has been released on mobile and various collections in the past into a finally what it really meant to be, a movie.
Yeah.
With Dirk the Daring.
Yeah. You know, I'm interested. You know, I never really played Dragon's Lair a whole lot when I was a kid.
It's so hard.
I know. It's a game that I would have rage quit as a child, like, straight up.
I think I've only beat it once.
Yeah. But I'm interested.
Oh, no. I've always loved the art style.
Oh, yeah. Don Bluth art is amazing.
Oh, man. It's just fun. And, you know, it did Dragon's Lair, Dragon's Lair 2. There was a game called... Space. It was basically
Space Ace.
Space Ace. Yes.
Yeah.
It was a Dragon Slayer in space, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm just excited. They released a Kickstarter video. They're trying to get money because they even said, "Look, animation is very expensive.
Oh yeah,
we're going to need this much money if you really want this to happen."
Oh yeah, yeah.
I hope it does well.
Oh, I think the nostalgia and the fan want is there. I mean, I could see it easily happening.
Kickstarters haven't been, like, a guarantee like
they were before
anymore. Like, them's Fighting Herds, the formerly My Little Pony-inspired fighting game.
Yeah.
Like, you'd think that would just be gangbusters, like, they'd make $1 million. They actually only went, like, 35% over their goal.
Yeah. Well, because more people are getting burnt by bad Kickstarters.
Yeah, people are more leery with their money now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like quite the Kickstarter boom where everyone's just throwing money at everything.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I think a lot of the people that were into that were for, you know, wanted ponies.
Well, hey, yeah.
And they took the ponies out. And
she came in and did special art just for it.
Yeah, I think this is better than if it was just some dumb pony game.
Yeah.
Like, this is leaps and bounds better than some... stupid pony fan crap.
Yeah, the pony fan stuff is like literally, as much as I do like My Little Pony, it is a dime a dozen on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, oh my god.
That whole crowd is just toxic, hot garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll have that in any fandom.
It's worse with ponies than it is with most fandoms.
I stay away from those websites.
Gross.
But Dragon Quest, most people
Dragon
I talk
Lair.
To...
Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Quest. Oh, God,
we did talk about Dragon's,
yes, Dragon's
Quest
Buzz.
Earlier, but now
Dragon's
we're talking
Lair.
About Dragon's Lair.
Yes, Dragon's Lair. I mean, I really want it. I think it's going to be great. You know, you actually get an honest to God story. Or that, or just video of Dirk the Daring dying a million times over. That would be fun as well. Because half the fun of playing the game is seeing the death animations they drew in.
Sure.
And then, you know, the whole Dirk the Daring as a skeleton is sitting there, just standing there, and it says, game over.
No, I'm just excited for more Don Bluth art. Long since he's done it, since he's done anything.
And... Yeah, he's been focusing a lot more on theater here lately.
Yeah, and... Yeah, I mean, I loved some of his earlier movies.
Anastasia.
Anastasia was really good. Rock and Rule. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
That's a really good one. Yeah, it's Rock and Roll Mice.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good.
Did he do Wizards?
No, that's Ralph Bakshi.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There was...
Secrets of Nim.
Yep.
That's Don Bluth.
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yep.
Oh, man, that one gets me every time.
Yeah. Basically, any movie that looks and feels like a Disney movie, but a little bit
darker.
A little darker.
Not afraid to do things that Disney wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Titan A.E. was it?
Titan A.E. was, yeah.
I liked that movie.
That was a good
one.
When
I saw it when I was a kid. I don't know if it's good now.
Yeah, it's still pretty good. Like, visually, it's very impressive.
Yeah.
Like, it was like that early CG, but it doesn't look quite like garbage.
Well, because it's being matched up with animation.
Yeah.
If it were mixed in with live action, it would have not been good.
No.
Also, Planet Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dragon Slayer. Put money into it. Do it.
Yeah. Look up that Kickstarter.
Do it for me. I want to see it.
Speaking of movies.
Do.
I know a couple of you may be fans of an old franchise called the Mega Morphing Powered Rangers. Was that what it's called?
The tattooed teenage alien fighters from outer space?
Yeah, something like that.
Color-coordinated fighting crew?
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a ton of news with this
Power Rangers reboot-ish
movie coming from Legendary Pictures. That we have four of the five main cast with their names and what the movie's actually going to be titled. First off, it's going to be titled Saban's Power Rangers. Because Haim Saban can't not put his name in everything that he touches.
You remember that when you're a kid, that the part of the title that had Saban in it that you like so much? Like, it's so weird that they would do that.
Well, you know, they did the same thing with that, what was it, that game?
Oh,
from a while back?
Oh, yeah, we reviewed it. It was
Chroma
really
Squad.
Good. Chroma Squad.
Yeah, and they were sued by Saban despite not having anything to do with Power Rangers, so it says Saban, you know, Saban's Chroma Squad or something. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Inspired by Saban. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crap.
They don't own Sentai. Like,
no.
They don't own fighting, color coordinated fighting teams.
No, but they're doing what they have to, I guess.
Yeah.
We also have the main, four of the five main cast. We have Naomi Scott as the Pink Ranger.
She was in Martian.
She was in The Martian. She's playing a character named Priya Patel. So right away, we know this isn't a reboot of the original Mighty Morphin. So
you
that's
know,
interesting.
Like anybody would want.
Well, yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's not what anybody wants.
Exactly. Let's see. We have Dacre Montgomery as the Red Ranger. He hasn't really done anything. He's Australian. And he's playing a character named Callum Oliver, which is interesting because if you remember the original series... The Green Ranger's name was Tommy Oliver. Do we think that this character has any ties to the original Green Ranger,
Frank?
I
hope it's just a reference.
I don't know. I think it would be cooler if it actually tied into
the series
mythos at all.
Mm.
You know, if it paid any sort of respect to the old stuff, but it won't. It's probably just a reference.
See, I would like it to tie in. I don't want it to tie into... Jason David Frank.
Yeah.
if the last name was like Cranston, tied
yeah.
into Billy, or you know, Zach...
Morris. No.
No, not Morris. Whoa, time out.
If only it tied into Saved by the Bell.
That would be perfect. Yeah. Yes.
Their high schools are the same.
The crossover everyone always wanted.
Yeah.
Mighty Morphin, Saved by the Bell.
You know, Mighty Morphin and Saved by the Bell, a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Mr. Belding looks an awful lot like Zordon.
Whoa.
Think about it.
A lot of the plots of the original show are like straight up just Saved by the Bell stories.
Pretty much, yeah. Anyway, we're going on with this. Let's see. We have Ludi Lin as the Black Ranger. Let's see. He hasn't really done anything. He's a fairly new, and he's playing a character named Oscar Fernandez, which is interesting because he is an Asian American actor playing a Latino in the movie. So that's interesting.
Maybe just his dad's Latino.
Maybe, you never know. Yeah. We have R.J. Seiler. Seiler? C-Y-L-E-R? Yeah.
Seiler or Kyler?
Yeah. We're going to say R.J. Kyler, I think. R.J. Kyler as the Blue Ranger. Brian Olson is his character name, which is interesting. We don't have a Yellow Ranger cast yet, but the character's name is Tayana Jones. So...
I'm guessing African-American girl, but I could be wrong.
Also, same with the Blue Ranger. Blue Ranger is African-American, and he's actually in an independent film that's out right now called Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
I've heard good things.
I've heard really good things about it. But no, this is interesting that they're going with not a direct reboot.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what kind of the preliminary plot synopsis is for this. And whether this movie will spin off the next season of Power Rangers. Because here's the thing. I'm kind of familiar with some of the Japanese influences that, you know, they're pulling these newer series from. And the last couple seasons have been very Japan-centric. Like, I'm not sure how they would have translated. Last season was all train-based. They're all train themed.
Yeah,
train culture is not as big in America as it is.
No,
kids over there. Love trains.
Kids love trains, but yeah. But most of the trains in question were like bullet trains.
Yeah,
it was like their morphing sequence had the train safety line, and when they were transforming, an announcer's voice would come over and stay behind the white line, stay behind the white line, and then the monsters would get pushed back away from the Rangers while they transformed.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good series.
Oh, no,
but
it's funny. It's funny.
Really funny. It was a comedy series. And then this season is another ninja series, but it's all based around like Japanese culture. Like you have the kawaii culture and you have like the traditional like paper lanterns and stuff like that. And I don't know how it's going to
Well, Samurai was kind of that way.
But this one is like very, very,
very
hard,
traditional.
Very traditional.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to do a TV series based on either one of these seasons once Dino Charge wraps up. So I'm curious to see if these characters will be then turned into the first American produced,
like our own thing,
our own season of Power Rangers, completely divorced from the Japanese footage.
I feel like TV networks will be more willing to throw more money behind it if there's a successful movie to back it up.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just have to see if it's successful.
Which, I feel like this movie is going to be the Michael Bay movie version of
Power Rangers.
It's going to be Transformers movie, but
It's going to be... It's not going to be... I don't know. I hope it's good. I'm not expecting it to be good. I'm just...
It's not going to be the silly, fun movie it should be.
Right. They're going to make it super serious. Well, I mean, like a lot of what Legendary Pictures does with their properties.
Even their non-horror stuff is pretty gritty.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, only time will tell, I guess.
And we've got two solid years.
Yeah, we have pretty much 2 years. Yeah.
Well, that about wraps it up. Like a mummy, like a scary mummy.
Like a spooky mummy. Awesome. you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Or if you're feeling brave enough, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
Or you can tweet us all your spooky Halloween related thoughts or just anything really at nerd_overload.
Yeah.
On the Twitters.
That's right.
You can pop us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com.
Yeah, and excellent. And actually, one last thing here. We're actually streaming online now at WZMOFM.com at 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Saturdays. So you can actually listen to us and listen to the station that we claim that we are on. It's real, you guys. Yeah. We're really on a radio station, and it's really has online streaming now. So go check us out there.
Yeah.
Why not?
You can be outside our listening area.
And still hear the show while it's on air.
Yeah, crazy, right?
Mind-blowing.
Anyways, thank you for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Happy Halloween!
Boo! Pizza out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.
My surprise.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle.